I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are thrilled today to be joined by a mom who is willing to come and share her story. We were just chatting before we started recording today about how vital sharing stories is to both the advocacy and the sharing of what PANS is, what it looks like in families, and the, you know, a solution that a lot of people are finding in homeopathy. But honestly, like, it's part of the healing process for the community as a whole, right? Like, it matters to be heard or to see your experience reflected in another person. And so I am so grateful when moms and dads too are willing to come on and share. And kids, like, I'm so excited. We've got some kids that are coming on again this season. Just anybody who's willing to share their experience, because it's not only helping, it's helping families in so many different ways, like so many different ways. So I'm very, very pleased to introduce Michelle to you guys. Michelle is the oldest of four daughters, a devoted wife and mom of three. She balances family life with her career as a realtor while also serving as an advocate for her special needs son, Knox. Amidst it all, she continues to carve out space for her own health and wellness journey while telling everyone who will listen about the amazing gift of homeopathy. And that's why she's here today in her very, very busy life to give us a little bit of her time to do just a little bit more of that sharing. So welcome, Michelle. We're so grateful to have you here.
Thank you guys so much.
So Michelle, we heard your bio, but tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, I know the bio was a little bit short and sweet, but
we know there's more.
A little bit more, but well, I guess, so I've been a mom for quite a long time. So my oldest, he's actually 18. Knox, who we'll be talking the most about today, he is 6. And then my youngest, my surprise gender baby, my daughter Merritt, she will be 4 actually next week. So I have to wear many different hats throughout the day, as far as, you know, in new adult life, trying to get him going up on his feet. And then obviously we all know the demands that a high needs child can bring. And then, of course, just having to spread yourself for your other children as well. So feeding people is kind of a love language of mine. I spend an excessive amount of time in the kitchen with an apron on, baking, cooking. A lot of the times I'm experimenting with healthier recipes, trying to get my kids, you know, I'm trying to hide vegetables and muffins and cookies and things like that for my two youngest that are pretty picky. And I know a lot of parents can kind of understand that. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of gardening, although I'm not very good at it. My neighbor is, though, and so we kind of have a trade-for-trade deal going on. I give her fresh eggs. She gives me fresh vegetables, and it's a good day. So, and yeah, as the oldest of four, I've just always kind of been in a caretaker, protector type of role for as long as I can remember. And I've just been pretty self-sufficient at, like, figuring things out. And I know now that probably wasn't a coincidence, and it definitely helps me, you know, be in the role that I am today with my kids. So yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
I can understand. I'm far more interested in the idea of gardening than I am as an actual gardener. So I can.
Oh, the idea of it is so amazing, but yeah, it's pretty time consuming, and I'm just, you know, struggling trying to keep my kids alive. So keeping vegetables alive is a whole other thing.
Well, and you forgot to mention yourself in there, as you know, like the attention that you deserve, because you got all of the attention going to all the other people, which so many people that are listening to us can relate to in this very moment. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention me.
Oh, yeah. No, you kind of forget. Yeah. What that's all about for a while.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Texas. So, yeah. I have to throw that in there.
Can't forget to mention Texas.
you know how we are.
Texas takes up its own space in the room. So the reason we're all here to get together today is because of PANS So tell us a little bit about how PANS showed up in your life, because what I always say, you know, if you've seen one case of PANS, you've seen one case of PANS, and they're all, they got overlaps and similarities, but they're all different too. So tell us about how it showed up for you guys.
Exactly. And that saying is actually the exact thing that they say in regards to autism. So, you know, you meet one with autism, you've met one person with autism, and actually that is the initial diagnosis that we received. But it was shortly after my son Knox turned two, although I knew well before that that there were some things that were a little bit different. And in the autism community, there seems to be two very distinct stories. Like the first one is I knew from the from birth, you know, my child was a little bit different and they never met milestones and things like that. And then you have the other hand where it's like my child was totally fine and then woke up one day and was like completely different, and which is terrifying, by the way, as a parent. But Knox was kind of a combination of both of those. Yeah, which was interesting because he never really, he was a little bit delayed from birth. It's like, you know, you typically sit up at 6 months. He was more along 8 months. You typically walk around 12 months. He was more of the 15-month mark. Again, it wasn't really anything that was super alarming at the time. But when no words came is when we were like, okay, we really need to start kind of digging and seeing what's going on. So I am wait and see kind of mom. So, and because I did have my oldest son, I was pretty much, you know, I was kind of aware of what things should be happening at certain times. And so it was just so drastically different that I kind of had an eye on it pretty or very early on. And I know a lot of people don't really want that label for their child, especially at such a young age. But I knew I just needed that as a stepping stone to get him the help that yeah. he needed. And so I call it whatever you want to call it, but like I need to be able to get him help. And so that was really the only thing I knew to do. And looking back, I know that PANS actually entered for him around 15 months old. So he came down with this terrible, terrible illness. We're not quite sure what it was. They just kind of called it something viral. And keep in mind, this is kind of like COVID time as well. So we got him tested for all the stuff. Nothing came back. But I remember him running an extremely high fever and just being completely like lethargic. Even upon recovering from that, he was just never quite the same child. So that was when I was like, and that didn't even really dawn on me until much, much later on. When I actually called RN, I told my provider, like, I don't know if this is PANS, but I kind of gave her his symptoms and gave her that story. And there were some things where she was, you know, definitely like, no, I think he's a perfect candidate for what we've got going. So that major illness, I don't think it was the trigger essentially, but it was definitely the tipping point for him. And it kind of just spiraled into what it was after that.
Can you tell us more about Knox's symptoms?
Yeah. So as he got older, so he was actually a very, very chill baby, almost like too chill. And so those were things as he got older, it started like a flip just switched in him and hyperactive. And I'm not talking about like, you know, had too much sugar and was just running around. I mean, he would jump on the couch nonstop for hours a day. We went through two or three couches because he would ruin them from jumping so much. And I know now he was probably, that was his way of regulating his system somehow. But restrictive eating was a big one. He stopped eating meat, any kind of protein completely. Sleep disturbances. He would wake all hours of the night and it would be extremely hard to get him back to sleep. And then came kind of the more intense, you know, as he's getting older, the demand avoidance is something that I noticed started to really, really peak for him. Even as something as small as, you know, can you pick that up and go throw it in the trash? I knew he understood, but it was like that would send him into such a fight or flight mode, and he would just shut down completely. So, and then the rage came. For some reason, it really revolved around if I tried to get him to focus on some activity, like reading a book, he would just completely, I mean, we're talking like tear curtains down and rip the books and throw them. So just really, really odd behavior for something that most kids would enjoy, you know, being a part of. So, and those were all things in my mind that didn't really fall. I don't know. It didn't fit like an just autism. I knew deep down there was something else going on. I just didn't know what to call it at that time. He was definitely still very much so in his own world a lot of the time. It just seemed to be, he seemed or looked very glazed over, wouldn't respond to his name much unless you consistently like yelled very loud. And then he would finally turn around. And he was actually still in pull-ups at the age of 5 when we started with resilience, even though we had attempted several times from 2.5 to then to get that accomplished. And again, I knew he understood the concept, but it was just a flat out like refusal to, yeah, to go that next step.
So you've mentioned a couple of times having started with us, it sounds like in the last year or so.
Just correct.
So what did you try before starting homeopathy?
Well, we did a lot of the early childhood. So even prior to the diagnosis, we got into ECI, which I believe was through the school system. They just kind of sent a therapist over once a week. And again, I didn't know what else to do. So we were just kind of grabbing anything that was provided. And then when we did get the actual diagnosis, I remember being, you know, handed a script of basically, here's your 40 hours a week of ABA. Good luck. And we did that for a while because I didn't know what else to do. They tell you this is the only thing you can do, which is really such a disservice now that I think back at that. And I certainly, there was some progress there, but knowing what I know now, it was definitely putting like the cart before the horse, because I know in my mind that he was very unwell. I know he just felt so unwell that it's like, no matter how many hours you're giving him of this therapy, like it's probably not gonna, he's not retaining it because he's not feeling good. And there was just so many other, you know, medical things going on. So during that, you know, he was, so from 2 to about 3.5 years old, we just, you know, did the therapy. But of course, during this time, I'm still very actively researching. I'm up all hours of the, I mean, I feel like I didn't sleep at all that during that period, to the point where my husband would be like, please stop Googling. But I didn't know what else to do. So yeah, still actively researching interventions. I joined several autism, like mom groups and Facebook groups. And that's when I really started to learn that there was a whole other like biomedical world for autism. So of course I'm still, you know, reading and learning, but it's when you first dive into those, it's pretty overwhelming. I mean, you kind of know everything that goes into that. There's all these people are using, you know, abbreviations and acronyms. And I'm like, what? it's a whole other language. So that took some time. I did a lot of just kind of browsing and learning. But I finally pulled the trigger on a holistic approach in early 2023. So, of course, you know, that entails all the labs, all the things, all the promises, and quite frankly, all the money. I mean, it's not a cheap thing to go through. So I don't want to knock. I mean, that certainly is a great avenue and it was a great starting point for us. But it, you know, they prescribed probably between 12 and 15 supplements. Now, keep in mind, like I can barely get my child to eat food. So I'm like, and without him being able to communicate with me at that point, I would actually try some of these things myself. And I'm like, that was awful. And some of them made me feel awful. So I'm like, I didn't really feel comfortable, especially all at the same time. So, you know, it was kind of a learning curve for me, for sure. It's kind of one of those things that I don't feel it was a waste of time. It was just, you know, it was kind of like our progression in the journey. But actually that same year, closer to summertime, where Knox is quickly approaching about 4 years old now, when I'm kind of really still into this biomedical side. And this time I kind of so the first one was actually a pretty known, a well-known Instagram person whose son is also on the spectrum and very, very knowledgeable. You know, I did love her and all that stuff. But the second one we tried was a local person here in Dallas that I was like, okay, maybe if they just see Knox, you know, I bring him in. I had that in my mind that if we just didn't do the virtual thing and if they just looked at him and did a physical exam and I could show them all these previous labs, you know, it would be a better outcome. And I guess long story short, it just neither one of those kind of worked out for us. It was a lot of wasted money, but it wasn't a lot of wasted time, which is what I am thankful for, because I quickly realized, like, this is not going to work for my family. It was very, very hard to it made it very easy to throw in the towel, because it was so hard to get the protocols done. There was no way. It was a fight every morning. It was very, very hard. And when you're already in the thick of hard, like, you don't need more hard. Yes. And so I know that probably, again, I do not want to know, because I know that does phenomenal things for so many people. But for the age he was, and he was so sensitive. He reacted to everything that I gave him, which I think is actually pretty common in Pan's kids. It would almost, like, everything I gave him, I felt like it made it worse. It made everything worse. And so I felt really, really defeated at that point.
Yeah. I feel like what you're saying is what so many of us that ended up in homeopathy say. It didn't work. It was a lot of money. And at the same time, it was a valuable stepping stone that helped to get us to homeopathy.
Right. Right. Oh, my provider was actually thrilled when I kind of told her this, because she was like, I love that you, because I know if you don't have that experience and you still are in those communities, it's so easy to get swirled and you're like, oh, let's try this. Let's try this. Let's try this. Which I still struggle with that a little bit.
We all do.
And my provider will just say, you know, hey, if she doesn't, you know, sure, you know, you're the mom if you want to do it. But she kind of brings me back to, that isn't going to help, you know, what we've got going here. So it's just a reminder to kind of let's stay on track.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell us about how you heard about homeopathy for the first time.
Oh, yes. The wonderful Facebook community that is known as TACA. So the Autism Community in Action, I'm sure you guys are familiar with. You are actually referred in there quite a bit, a lot by me, but a lot by everyone else. And yeah, they actually have a great workbook that this was for the first few years, like, this was my Bible. And there actually is a whole Pandas Pans section here that you can kind of do your own little quiz and, you know, see if it's something that you should be looking into. So yeah, those, the admins in that group, I mean, they're incredibly knowledgeable. It's pretty insane. I'm like, this person has to, well, not even just the admins, like the parents that are there, because they're, you know, they've been advocating for so long and they've been reading labs for so long and they've been, the trial and error is never ending. And sometimes I'm like, you know, I'll read this comment and I'm like, this person has to be like a doctor. And I go on their, click on their little profile, and they're like, you know, Susie Homemaker at you know, whatever.
We have their mom MD.
Their mom MD. And I'm like, wow. So it's pretty impressive. And again, it's just, it's a group of moms who, whether it is autism, PANS, or both, you know, we're kind of, the autism community is more and more on the lines of, if your child is diagnosed with PANS, there's a pretty large percentage, I'm sorry, with autism, there's a pretty big percentage that, you know, PANS pandas might also be involved. Yes. So that is very well known now, at least within the, that kind of community. And, you know, I'm so thankful that it's actually being talked about like that. And I know you guys are too.
Yeah. That's grown over the years. I've actually spoken for TACA at their conference out here in California twice now.
Oh, it's coming up. I think it's this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not able to do it this year.
Okay.
But yeah, I've spoken a couple of times. Yeah, it's usually in October. There's always a conflict with something that my husband does every year. So it's like, which one am I going to do?
Right.
But I've been very, very happy to see both the expansion of the embracing of homeopathy by the community as a whole, but also the greater understanding. Because for so long, it's like PANS pandas has been, you know, the proverbial, I hate to, there's got to be a better phrase, like the, I'm not even going to say it, but like the like unloved child, right, of the complex medical community, that like no matter what you've got going on, if you bring up PANS pandas, there's been a while that it's been like, no, we're not talking about that. We're squashing. Mm-hmm. And that's not happening so much anymore.
That was actually for the local Dallas functional medicine doctor that I briefly saw. I specifically brought up PANS to her, because she was like, I see you've checked, you know, you have concerns about his immune system. And she's like, can you elaborate? And because at that time, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but at that time he was, you know, 3.5 going on 4. And it had just dawned on me that he had not mounted a fever since he was 15 months old. And so I kind of mentioned that to her and brought up PANS, and she completely dismissed it. Completely. And so It's tough, because that was the missing piece, obviously. And it's like, I felt it. I knew it. I feel like we even had labs to probably show it, but maybe it was just obviously out of her realm of things. So
like so many parents, it was through other parents that you learned about homeopathy. And it was through a different Facebook group than our Facebook group, which is, I always love to hear that people learning about homeopathy in lots of different places.
Yes, I love that. I love that came from another group. That's awesome. So let's talk all things healing journey. You guys are a year into homeopathy, right? Am I correct there?
Yep.
Which is relatively early. So tell us a little bit about what it was like in the beginning of healing, and then how things have progressed. Just kind of walk us through it.
Sure. So there were notable improvement. Knox is a very, very quick responder, which of course at first I didn't know what the heck to look for or what was going to happen. But we saw, very, very notable improvements almost right away. So the symptoms then were very easy to kind of track and report, because it was so, you know, fantastic. I'm like, what is happening here? Everything from, especially the speech. I mean, Knox was considered nonverbal when we started, and that was just a year ago. And he had, you know, we're still a bit away from being what you would, you know, a conversational, and certainly not where he should be as a now 6-year-old, but he has thousands of words. So
in a year, that's amazing.
I knew I was getting emotional with that.
Oh, understandably.
I want everybody to hear this, because we get questions so frequently how and if homeopathy can help with anything related to speech. And I tell people again and again, yes, absolutely. Yes, 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 it can. And to just see your reaction, to see like how much of an impact that makes, to go from basically nonverbal to thousands of words is a huge deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first time we've heard, I love you and mom. So it's a big deal. I knew I would get upset. I'm a sepia profile, if you can't tell. I know somebody will get that out there. Yeah. No, but that it was so huge. And actually, when you're living it and you're kind of in that healing, you know it's happening, and you know it's a big deal. But then we'd go out and we'd see friends that we hadn't seen in a long time. They would be like, "What did you do?" And so that was huge. Now that we're a year in, I know the second half of healing, because I can already see it. Symptoms are getting a little bit harder to keep track of. We're kind of going through these ups and downs, where it was like, oh, we're riding this great high, and then we'd kind of hit a low, but we'd get right back on track. And now, and of course, we're in sick season as well, so we're kind of on this roller coaster right now, which is expected, and I was kind of prepared for it. One of the biggest indicators for our am I able to say her name, by the way?
Or the provider you're working with?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know. Yes. So Dr. Bartel, when we did the initial consult, one of the biggest things I noticed was Knox would always do so much worse in the winter months. And I'm like, okay, this isn't autism. You're not better in the summer. And then you it's just one of those things. So we're actually there now with the winter months approaching, and it's been much more steady than we've ever seen. So I kind of know the second half of healing, just because I've heard other moms talk about it too. It's going to be a little bit rockier, but I have no doubt he will continue to improve. So yeah, we're excited. We're just excited.
So anybody who hasn't heard about the second half of healing, we'll put a link to it in our show notes, because we've got episodes all about it, because it's a thing that people need to be aware of and understand so that they can get all the way through to full recovery and to live the best version of themselves that they can possibly be. So I'm curious what being in this place now, you've talked a little bit about his symptoms, but what's life like for Knox and for your family now with some of these changes that you've seen in the first year?
It is dramatically different. Mm-hmm. He does go to a school, but designated for autistic kids still. So it's kind of got the ABA therapy plugged in, but it is a school that is preparing them for mainstream education. Mm-hmm. So he goes to reading and he goes to math and he does all those things. And I mean, he is just, he's a typical six-year-old as far as what he likes to do. He loves building out of blocks, and he likes reading books again, which was a big, big thing that was like, absolutely no thank you, when PANS was at an all-time high. So yeah, just lots of typical things. He loves interacting with his sister, which mm-hmm. is something that, I mean, he was pretty young when we first brought Merritt home, but like I could have brought a monkey home and he would have been like, he did not care, not care that she was new to the crew and, all the things you kind of expect your 2.5-year-old to be excited about and to understand what was going on. So they are now little besties, and that is just the best thing. So obviously they have their moments of fights and all that's normal, but they play very typically together, that's huge. Mm-hmm. He's getting much more independent as far mm-hmm. as dressing himself, brushing teeth. Again, I don't think people realize, like, these are all things I was doing for him, and in a way where, like, he wasn't even, it's like dressing, a potato. It was just like, he had no really concept of like what I was doing or what he needed to do. I was just kind of doing it all. But he has now shown lots of initiative to kind of do those things himself. Of course, he comes into the room with his shirt on backwards and inside out, but we're like, cool, you did it. He's actually eating foods that he had stopped eating prior. So we're still working on one of the symptoms we are tracking is, you know, he still won't eat any meat or protein. But again, we have a feeling that we'll come back in. And then he's just your typical, as far as like he's stoked, super stoked for Halloween. He understands that like that is coming. And every day he wakes up and he'll say trick or treat. And I'm like, not today, but you know, it's coming soon. But just the fact that he understands that and he is excited for it and he can say trick or treat. Absolutely huge.
Yeah. So this is going to, this is likely going to air after Halloween. So
Okay.
us in like social media updates on how Halloween went.
And oh, for sure.
Hopefully there'll be a lot of excitement for the upcoming holidays too. Cause when this is scheduled to air is going to be between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay.
So I hope that you have a lot of really good holidays and excitement for holidays coming up.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm always preaching that healing is a family affair. So I'm curious if anyone else has gotten in on their own healing journey with homeopathy.
Actually, yes. My daughter and I are also patients of RN. And I'll kind of touch on her first because it was kind of a short-lived thing. And this was probably me, you know, when you have a child that's complex and all of these things, you're a little... every little symptom and every little thing you're on top of as far as with your other kids, especially if they're, you know, younger. So, because Merritt is completely neurotypical, showed no signs of any sort of delay or anything. She talks and she's very, very typical little girl. But the week she turned three last year on her birthday, I could tell she had some sort of illness. It didn't seem major. It was kind of that time of the year, not a big deal. But then I noticed a very obvious flare after that. So, and we're talking potty accidents when she's been potty trained since two, and like that's never been ever, even at night, has never been an issue for her. OCD like behavior. She suddenly stopped eating the things that she was eating, and then school refusal, which if anyone's dealt, a lot of people have dealt with that, but that is literally the worst. I mean, to the point where I'm carrying her in and they're having to, you know, she's clawing me to stay with me when she had been totally fine at school. And of course I panicked because I'm like, I knew exactly, you know, what was happening. So we got in pretty quickly for her. And she's actually only been a patient now for about six or seven months. But because I noticed it very early and very quickly, we were able to get her back to baseline relatively easy. And she has been completely fine, if not better, than she was even prior ever since. So fingers crossed, but, to the point where Dr. Bartel just yesterday was like, let's just go ahead and, you know, push her out a bit. Cause she was like, she's not a big concern. Like you and Knox are my concern right now. And so fingers crossed, she's done amazing. Back to loving school, running in. Bye, Mom. It's just, it's insane that it can switch like that.
Yeah.
And that's, it's terrifying. But the fact that I know I have the tools in my mom belt now. Like it's okay. It's manageable. And she is kind of proof that if you kind of catch it early on, it's much better as far as the outcome.
Yeah.
And then me, so yeah, I can talk about my kids all day, but for me it's a little bit harder. But so I guess I'll give you kind of like the cliff note version. I won't go do a deep dive or anything, but I actually believe, knowing what I know now, that I had PANS as a child. I was a strep kid. I'll just call it that. Like ever since I can remember like 6 or 7 years old, I would get reoccurring strep. I mean, it was chronic to the point where some years it was 2 and 3 times a year. And of course you go to the doctor, they give you the pink bubblegum medicine, which I know now as amoxicillin. And terrible for my gut and everything else. But I was, I mean, around the clock, year after year after year. And that was the only thing that was kind of, that was the only solution that was provided, unfortunately, at that time. And not, you know, my poor, sorry, mom, like it wasn't, definitely wasn't my parents' fault or anything. Like they did not know. They did not know any better. No one knew any better. It's just what you were told or how you were told to treat it. And of course, strep, you don't want to leave untreated, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of just, I remember then in like fourth, fifth grade having major anxiety around school. And it kind of started, I had a not so great teacher that we just kind of blamed a lot of the struggles that I was feeling on that, when deep down there was probably a little bit more than just a not great teacher, right? And then I remember having very odd phobias. Like I would go through these periods of time where I would just have these terrible, terrible thoughts of like my parents dying, and which of course no one wants that to happen, but I'm like a 10-year-old child and I have no idea why I'm even thinking that way. And I would not go and do things because I didn't want to be away from them. And just very, very odd fears around being sick, and which I know now is kind of like a medical anxiety type feeling. And then around 17 years old, I was actually on antibiotics for strep. I had come down with that again. And I remember having a full-blown panic attack. And this was the first time that had happened for me. And I did not obviously realize what was going on. But in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm overdosing on antibiotics. Like what is going on? But then that was just kind of from there, my entire adult life, I just remember, or I was and felt anxiety, depression, just kind of this never-ending cycle of like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just feel very unwell. Mm-hmm. And I think, Dr. Barr, you kind of have a similar, as far as you thought you had, or you did have PANS as a child, but it got to the point where
I was... There's no way to confirm, but all of the things sort of line up.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was to the point where, you know, I had been on several medications, and when those stopped working, they were like, oh, you must be bipolar. And I'm like, what? Like, no, I knew that wasn't right, but I'm like, whatever you feel will fix me, like, okay. And so, yeah, I just really needed, and then there's nothing like your children to just rip them out, because, you know, I was pretending to be well for quite a while. And then when you have kids, unfortunately, that mask just kind of falls off, right? Because they require so much of you, and you don't even realize all of these wounds you have until you have to be very, you know, open for them. And so, yeah, I saw what it was doing for Knox, and I kind of put the pieces, like you said, no one's ever diagnosed me, but I kind of put all the pieces together, and I'm like, this is something that could probably help me too. So I made the appointment, and it's probably been one of the best things I've done for me, for sure.
Yeah. So if you've been through lots of stuff with your own health and healing journey, has it impacted the way that you respond to homeopathy? So obviously your daughter, who had like the least, is the fastest. Have you noticed any difference with how you are responding to homeopathy or your own process compared to your kids?
I'm actually, Knox and I we're driving the same. Like it's pretty crazy. We're both very, very quick responders. When he needs a little bump, you know, as far as potency change or whatever, or a tweak to something, I seem to also need it around the same time. And do we have a real quick story about when I took, okay. Cause this is crazy. This is wild. I'm sure you hear wild all the time. So I was so excited to get started on what, you know, I was prescribed after I met with Dr. Bartel. So, and I had to get some other things anyway. So I'm off to, you know, Sprouts and get what I need. I get the remedy and I'm, you know, super excited. So I'm in the car and I go ahead and just take the first dose, and I'm driving back home. And I mean, the store was not but 10 minutes from where I live. So, and I'm driving, not even really thinking about much. And this overwhelming memory, like floods my mind. It's something I haven't, I mean, it's something that happened like over 20 years ago that I had not thought about in years and years and years, obviously. But it wasn't a good, memory. It was kind of a, I think it was high school-ish time. It was kind of like a bullying situation, which obviously I had suppressed and moved on with and thought like, okay, you know, we'll just move on with life. And it came, I'm talking flooding back. And then here come the tears and I was a mess. And so my husband happened to still be home. I don't know when I got back and I was so upset. I could hardly speak. So he like probably thought I ran over a dog or like, who knows. But so all I could do was I just handed him like, you know, my vial or whatever, because he knew I had had that appointment that morning. And so it kind of clicked because he's, you know, knowledgeable enough now to understand what was happening. And he was like, what is that? He's like, you got this at Sprout? Like, he's so confused because he's like this massive, obvious, you know, just, and I was unwell that day for quite a while. But then once I kind of composed myself, it felt like 1,000 pounds had been lifted off of me. Like I was wearing something that an invisible coat that I didn't even realize I had on. And so that's when I was like, okay, this, like, if I wasn't sold before, I am 100% like on board now. And that was, and of course I emailed Dr. Partell and I'm like, this is what happened. Like, what in the world? And she called it something. I can't quite remember. I guess there's a word for that.
Honorative discharge is my guess.
Yes, that is what she said. And she goes, that's probably a pretty good sign that we're on the right track. And I mean, yeah, I've been on the same remedy since. And it's been very, very, very good for me. But actually that experience alone kind of opened up, you know, I had never really considered therapy or anything like that. So it was just kind of like this gateway, you know, had just opened to, you know, I probably need to do some major healing of my own, because I'm a big time suppressor of feelings and things. And it's just so much easier at the time. And then, and until your body's like, no, ma'am. So, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. I love that you had the insight and the awareness to be okay with it and to recognize pretty quickly, it sounds like, this might be, even though this really is not comfortable and I am not enjoying this. Okay. I mean, I'm sure it helped that you pretty quickly felt like, oh my gosh, thank God that's out now.
Right.
Like, I'm not carrying that anymore.
Right.
So of course, I'm sure if you'd stayed there, you'd have been like, no, thank you.
Oh, no, no. It was just, it was, like I said, it was just something I hadn't thought about in decades. And I had no idea that my body was obviously still holding on to.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Super cool. So was there a specific moment in all of this journey when you felt hope again after feeling hopeless for quite some time?
Oh, yes. And I can pretty much give you an exact date, because it was literally 1 week into us starting our first remedy with our Furnox. So that would be September 10th of 2024. He woke up that morning. Again, 7 days. We had just started our remedy 7 days ago. He woke up that morning, and I hear him peeing in the potty. Just like, and not only was he using the restroom, he was like, like, this is just something that he had done.
Normal day for him, even though it's like an exceptional day.
Exactly. And it, you know, again, I think I mentioned this before, but this was something we had tried and tried. We had tried everything, but it was almost like a fog had been lifted. And he was finally like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And of course, this was back when we were all still very brand new. So I'm like, this has to be a coincidence. Like, there is no way. And I even told Dr. Bartell, I'm like, this is a coincidence, right? And God bless her. She's like, she didn't want to be like, no, it's the remedy working or whatever. She wanted me to make my own assumptions and for me to see it for myself. So She never was like, no, this is the remedy doing what it's supposed to do. She just kind of allowed me to see it for myself. And it stuck. Like it stuck. He has never regressed from that. We still have a little bit of sensory issues and trouble with the other, which actually is totally, totally common for our kiddos that are struggling. But we know for a fact that we'll get there and it'll be.
Yeah.
And now I know now that that was definitely not a coincidence. It was the right remedy at the right time by amazing provider. So
that's awesome. So if you could talk to yourself a year ago, just standing at the starting line to homeopathy, what would you say to yourself?
Well, I would probably, you know, just your gut was right. And I'm glad, you know, I didn't kind of listen to a lot of the other noise that kind of happens, especially now. There's too much noise around a lot of what's happening with our kiddos. And a lot of people don't understand, like, we love our children, and that's why we're doing all of these things. Like, we're not trying to change them. We're trying to help them live like their best life. So I'm just glad I didn't give up, and you know, I was on the right track. I just needed to be on the right train to get me to where we were going. And I would, you know, it's going to be hard, but it'll be worth it. And yeah, buckle up, because I know we still have a ways to go as far as healing for him. And do I personally feel there's some level of, you know, call it what you want, autism or whatever, that's probably there? Yes, but I feel like we could get to a point where it's completely manageable and he is self-sufficient and living a very, very, very happy life. Like, we're not trying to change, you know, who Knox is. That has never been the goal. So it's, yeah, I feel like it's been totally worth where we are right now.
So that's what you would say to yourself a year ago. What about to other parents who are even potentially earlier in the journey of either discovery of what's going on with their child, who they're just like, something changed, or potentially considering homeopathy or feeling lost in the noise? What advice would you offer them?
Well, if they're on the track of PANS and they kind of feel like that's where they're headed, I know it's a little bit scary, but it's kind of like a congratulations, like at least you have. You made the right decision and you're on the right path. Like, I don't know how else to say it other than, because I know so many kids, they probably struggle for years and years and years and years and years. Oh, well, I mean, myself included, even though I was able to function as an adult, struggled very, 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 very much. So I think, and as far as advice with the healing journey, though, not to overcomplicate the symptom tracking and the things needed for your provider as far as follow-up. I'm an Excel spreadsheet person, and I tried to go that route initially and quickly learned, like, no, that's not how this is going to, not how this is going to roll. So, you know, a little note thing in your phone is completely fine. You just have to find what's kind of effective for you. And then, yeah, just remind them that not everyone is going to understand, and they're not living your life and they don't know your child like you do. But it's not, you know, it's not their job. It's not their job to. So had I let opinions of actually, well, other doctors, friends, coworkers, had I let anyone influence, you know, my decision that I ultimately decided on for Knox, even though I knew nothing about it, I would have missed an absolutely amazing opportunity for my child. So,
yeah, that's awesome. You like literally silenced all the noise so you could focus, right?
Yes.
I tell you have to regularly, you have to like silence all the things and all the people and the opinions and all the ruckus.
Yeah. Cause I still can't explain. It's very hard to explain. Like, I don't know, but I don't have to like look at my child, and that's all you need. That's all the explaining that you need.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I love talking to you today because, like, I can just see ease in you. Like, you are at ease and you are confident. And that's, it's such a great thing because I personally spent a lot of time fighting the whole process and being frustrated. I feel like you're just at a place where you're like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to allow this healing to happen and go with it. Okay. And that's such, it looks so peaceful on you.
Well, that actually comes from Dr. Bartel, because that is her attitude 1000%. She's like, all right, we'll just get them fixed right up. You know, like it's not, nothing is too big or too small for her. And you know what? I don't know. She definitely puts me at ease because I know there's always a solution. And even when it feels like we're backsliding or things aren't working, it's something that I can still be consistent with. And I know that we're making progress, whether I see it or not. And that is what puts me at ease, honestly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and to share just a little bit. I mean, I feel like we could talk to you for hours to really get the totality of your experience, both before and during homeopathy. And, you know, we would be very grateful to have you back when you are on the other end of the journey. We love when people are willing to come and talk to us when they're still in the middle of it for themselves and for their kids. So you're welcome to join us at any point if you want to share more about your process as you are even further along, so you can give us reflections on the second half that you're
for sure. My goal one day, this could be several years down the road, but my goal one day is for Knox to be able to share with you guys.
Oh, that would be awesome.
All right. I'm making that one of my goals too. Jody, we have to keep doing this long enough for Knox to be able to be a guest. All right. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for your time, your vulnerability, your willingness to share, and just the trust that you have given to yourself, honestly, first and foremost, and then the trust that you've given to, obviously, to Dr. Bartel, who has been a really clearly a good partner to you in lots of ways for this. So, all right. Well, unless there's anything else that you want to offer, any final thoughts to share with the community, we'll wrap up.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.